So this morning's message is titled Sow, Sickle, and Shade, okay? And you'll see why. I like words. I'm a kind of word crafter. I like puns and word crafting. And so we're going to read right through these verses. And as we do, then we're going to circle back around. So verse 26, and he, of course, that's Jesus, said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, that means sow, and should sleep by night and rise by day. And the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And verse 30, then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may rest under its shade. And verse 33, and with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. So just starting with the end there, it's interesting how the Lord spoke in parables. And I really believe many people say, I don't get it. He's comparing seed and heaven and all these things. Like where? And to a lot of people, they were just flabbergasted with confusion when he was finished. But the people who really wanted to know, they came to him, Jesus, what? Break this down for us. Explain this to us, you know? And Jesus would. The people who really wanted to know can know. And that's still the case today. Because, you know, in a sense, the whole world is a parable, isn't it? I mean, you just look around and everything you see, God created, first of all. His hand is on everything. And secondly, as you look around and experience things, you know that God, it's nothing is beyond God, and he already has things figured out. And so as we look around in a world of parables, the Lord says, if you come to me, I'll help you sort it all out, break it all down, so that we can understand what it is we're actually seeing. We might think we see something, but then we go ask the Lord, what am I really seeing, Lord? Or what should I do about this situation? All of a sudden, he breaks it all down, doesn't he? So it's still the case today that the world is a parable, isn't it? But if we go to the Lord, he will break it all down for us and help us sort through it. And so the first thing we see here is sowing seed. The kingdom of God is like sowing seed. And wherever we sow the seed, of course, it's the word of God. And, you know, he says, don't worry about how things turn out. Don't lose sleep over what's going to happen with someone that you shared the word with. God will take care of it, won't he? In fact, in Corinthians, when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and he was talking about, you know, there's all different parts of the gospel here, and there's people who are wonderful at speech. There are people who are wonderful at works. There are people who are wonderful at just loving and hugging people. There are people wonderful with gifts of healing, all these things. But it's all part of the same process. And no one gets the glory but Jesus. In fact, he said in 1 Corinthians 3, 6 to 8, he said, he was talking about Apollos, who was a wonderful speaker, really dynamic. And if you have that next verse, but he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. Each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. And so God always brings the increase. And just like that verse said, it's like, don't worry about it. Just if you are just sharing God's word with people through your life, and I'm not saying quoting scriptures, if you could do that, that's amazing. I have never been tremendous at knowing the text and the exact wording of scriptures. You know, it's not easy for me, but I can paraphrase. Are you kind of like that? Like you can say, hey, isn't there a verse kind of talks about this and that? You know, it's like, you know, you could just come up with the idea, but you know, if you just keep drawing in the word, in fact, it's almost like, remember, we looked at a verse recently that a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. We're like wicks. Do you know that? And we're like, we're submerged in God's word and his spirit, just like the olive oil. And the more you soak in, you're just always going to be burning bright. You're always burning for Jesus. Amen? And so if you're always submerged in the word and knowing the word and with fellow saints, you're going to be growing and the word will just live through you. You don't have to worry about it, you know? And so because all word is appropriate, you know, sometimes we think, oh, I always have to be out saying, you know, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell. And, you know, Jesus is the only way. And what you believe about that isn't correct. And that's not correct either. Like almost kind of like being a salvation message every time you talk to someone. But that's not real life, is it? Like if you're sitting across the table with your neighbor and you're talking about something and they're going through something, you're not going to say, you know, if you don't accept Jesus, by the way, you're going to hell. No, you're gonna share truths that you know through God's word and through your experience. It's just experience and living God's word is a testimony to everyone, isn't it? In fact, I love what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16. He said, all scripture, if you have that next verse, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, you know? Because there's a whole host of things God covers in his word, and you're always just spreading the seed. I asked Rob to bring some seed. I couldn't find any in my house, but, you know, you're just like sharing the love of Jesus, and they're talking to you about something. You're just kind of like, we'll clean this up later, by the way. And you're just kind of throwing seed, you know? Because it's going to plant something. And it might be about something. Jesus might not even be in the conversation. But you're talking about depression. You say, you know, I know a guy who was depressed. It was Elijah. And when he was depressed, you know what he did? He went to the Lord and said, Lord, how come I'm the only one who knows you? How come I'm the only one who's actually living for you? How come I'm the only one? But you know what? He wasn't the only one. There was many others. He just saw the world around himself. It was all about him in that instant of time, you know? And so you can share. I know about a guy, and you know what? I also know it from my life, and you're just spreading a little more word. You know, it's so true. If you know the word, isn't it appropriate for everything? Every situation in life. In fact, I'll give you an example. I'm going to do a little test here if we have time. We have a couple minutes. But I'm just going to give you an example, and I'm going to see if you've been digging into the word. We're not going to ask you to raise your hand or test you, but for your own self, you know? And I'll bet you're going to come up with these, but I'm going to give you a scenario, and I'm going to say, does the Lord give you a word from his word to apply to that? You ready? Okay? So you're talking to someone, a young person, they say, you know, I know I need to leave home, but I'm like, it's out of my comfort zone. And I don't feel comfortable leaving my home to go somewhere new because it's scary. I don't know what's on the other side of that, but I do think it's God leading me there. Can you think of a scenario in the Word that might apply to that? Abraham, maybe, you know, because he was living in a land that was, you know, riddled with idolatry and everything. But the Lord was leading him to the promised land. Perhaps Jacob, when God was leading him from the promised land back to Laban, only to raise his family and then come back again, right? Or how about another example? How about, you know, no one in my household appreciates me or sees any potential in me. You know, they don't really believe that God has anything great in my life, and they just underestimate me, and they pay me no mind. I've been neglected my whole life by my family. Can you think of anybody like that? How about David? You know, I mean, you know, his dad didn't even consider him as being worthy to be anointed by Samuel, and he only brought in the other seven sons, right? Oh, yeah, well, there's one more out there, you know? And then when he came to the battlefield with supplies, and his older brothers are saying, what are you doing here? And Eliab is saying, I know how conceited you are, and you're just here for curiosity, and it's all about you, isn't it, David? No, it wasn't that day, was it? It changed the course of history for Israel, right? And so, or how about another example? I just wrote a couple down here. How about you're in a position and you've just been placed in this high-ranking position, maybe in a company or in a team or whatever it might be, and you're saying, I don't know, should I use this position to bring God's will into this situation? Like, should I risk it all? Can you think of anyone who did that? How about Esther? You know, I mean, she was the queen, and yet she stood up for her people. How about Moses? You know, he was possibly the next Pharaoh. Who knows, you know? But, like, that's what I'm talking about. In fact, this past Wednesday night, I have a new one. It's like now it's in my little catalog of go-tos. Do you know what I mean? And it's King Jehoshaphat, who's like a perfect example of someone who had no boundaries. He was a God-loving guy, but he had no boundaries. And as a result, he was always being drawn into other people's sins, mainly King Ahab and King Ahab's family, you know? And as a result of him putting himself in harm's way, he actually brought that sin back to Judah. And for now, from now on, I fall into a situation, I'm here, you know, you're really a bleeding heart. But the problem is you need boundaries. Let me tell you about King Jehoshaphat. That's what I'm talking. You're just kind of like throwing seed into the situation. It's not about salvation, but it's about truth, right? And the word is just loaded with that truth. So we're always sowing seed at all times. But then the next thing is the sickle, right? Because, you know, the sickle is when you're harvesting. In fact, we have a picture of one because I can't find mine at home. And no one I know has a sickle. In fact, just for next time, does anybody here in the room have one of them? I'm going to have to... Nobody. Oh, okay. All right. But anyway, it's for harvesting, right? In fact, mine, yeah, has a handle and you kind of swing it like a golf club, you know? But anyway, I couldn't find the thing. I think I threw it out by accident. But not that I ever use it anyway. Anyway, so... But the sickle, sometimes it's just time to harvest, right? I mean, it's just time. I remember one time on a Sunday night, and a dear sister brought some. In fact, I'll just say her name, whether she's here or not. She's wonderful, Dawn Burke. And she brought, there she is. Hi. But anyway, she brought a friend of hers. And, you know, Dawn, the whole family's like the Pied Piper. Just people follow them around, and they're so good. I'm bragging on you right now. Embarrassing you. She's going to crawl under the seat right now. But anyway, they just sow into so many people's lives all the time, you know? And so she one time brought this woman to church on a Sunday night. We were doing a book study, and I just said, let's go around the room, introduce ourselves, and how long you've been a believer. And if you aren't, just say not yet or something like that. And so they went around, and her friend said, not yet. I'm like, wow, that's cool how transparent you are about that. So after the night, we were just talking, and after talking, I'm like, well, don't you want to do that now? And she said, I do. And I said, well, you know what? Dawn should be the one to put in the sickle. No, I didn't say the sickle. But Dawn should pray with you because she brought you here, you know, and Dawn led her to Christ. You know, she accepted Jesus that day, that night. But, you know, sometimes we just like, oh, you mean now? Like, we'll do it now? Like, I got a call one time from my cousin, and I had only been a believer a couple of years, and he calls me out of the blue, and he says, he was an alcoholic, and he says, I'm afraid to die because if I die, I think I'm going to hell. And I'm like, Yeah. Like, well, I'm thinking, well, I'm going to come down and see you. And I'm like, all of a sudden, like, what do I do? Do you know what I mean? Like, and I know I'm saved. I should know that. But I'm like, I call my pastor, like, what verses are they again? Like, what should I read? It's like, because it's time. It's go time, right? And I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like fumbling, like, I don't really know what to do. Yes, you do. What did you do, right? You just say, are you a sinner? Yes, I'm a sinner. Do you need a Savior? Yes, I need a Savior. Do you believe Jesus died for your sins and that he is God? Yes. Why don't you call out to him now for salvation and receive his Holy Spirit? Done. That's it. That's not very complicated, is it? But I'm like, all right, now what's that chat? You know, and I'm looking through my book. But anyway, I get down there and it just, Steve, you need to receive Jesus. I want to. Well, let's do it now. Bam. You know, it's because when the harvest is ready, you just got to have that sickle and say, I'm going in for it. It's now. It's now, because the enemy is just waiting to snap up that seed, right? And put in blockades in the way. And some of us sometimes don't feel qualified like I didn't to lead someone to Jesus, but you're going to be in that spot. And you don't realize it's not about you. It's about maybe the 10, 30, or 40 people before you spreading seed about life, about this, about that, and all the other thing. And all of a sudden, they're ready. Maybe it's even a dream they had. And you're the one. You're at the door. Are you going to pray with them? Are you going to plant that sickle in the harvest? Because we need to. I just have one verse that is a reminder. Romans 10, 8. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, it's just confessing Jesus. I want to be saved. Maybe you're here today and you have thought it's so complex. I got to change my life. I got to be different from now on. I have to be somebody else. I have all this baggage. I have a past that's never fixable. I have all this just mess in my life. All you have to do is cry out, Jesus, I want to be saved from myself. Because, you know, Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. Everyone's already going there on their own. He's trying to take you out of the lake of fire. He's trying to save you. Today, if that's you, receive Jesus. And we're going to give you an opportunity. And then finally, the shade. The shade. What happened? The mustard seed grew into a tree, and even the birds flew in and built nests and rested under its branches. And you know who the birds are, really? You remember the birds were the ones that snapped up the seed on the wayside. In other words, the agents of the devil. They're people. They're people that are lost. They're people that are confused. They're people that don't believe in Jesus. And a lot of times the enemy uses them to create problems for us. But they're not evil. The enemy is evil, but if they never receive Jesus, they're going to hell. So here we have the picture of the kingdom of God offering shade and protection to even the lost. And you know, really, the kingdom of God and the churches need to be a place of refuge, don't they? I love what's going on in the Carolinas. The church is rising up and being a part of saving those people from floods and destruction. Just like down in Nicaragua, what we're doing through Field of Abundance missions in providing food and supplies and shelter to people who are in that chaos of a government and the riots and the rebellions that are going on. The kingdom of God needs to be shade for the lost. Whether they ever accept Jesus is between them and God. But we just need to continue to provide shade. I love that picture when Israel was going from Egypt to the promised land, that the Lord led them by a pillar of cloud. But you know, I believe that pillar, because it was a pillar, but I believe it opened up almost like a funnel cloud, you know, almost like it looked like almost like a tornado, because of this verse here in Psalm 105:39, that he provided a canopy for Israel to go under the shade. He's always providing shade. In Isaiah, if you have that verse, Isaiah 4:6 says, that your temple will be shade for the world. Like that we as believers and the church would provide shade for those people. And you know what's interesting? Birds building what? Nests. And what are nests for? To give birth to eggs. And what are inside eggs? Chicks. And what do chicks grow up to be? Grown birds, right? But the picture is that the people we're ministering to may not ever accept Christ, but maybe their children will. Maybe as their parents say, you know what? When the country was letting us down, when the mosque was letting us down, when the temple was letting us down, the church was there to provide for us. And all of a sudden, their children are going to hear of the great things the kingdom of God did and say, you know, that's the shelter I want to be under. And so we as believers offer shade to the world, just like to those birds nesting. Amen? Amen? Because the Lord promises in Exodus 34 to visit the sins that the fathers passed on to their generation. The Lord promises to visit that iniquity generation after generation. In spite of the parents, I'm going to come to that generation and reveal myself to them. I want them saved. In spite of their parents, I'm going to come to them and reveal myself. And that's why the church provides shade for the lost. Amen. And so now we're going to do a baptism. And I'm just going to invite you today to be thinking here. Is today a day that I should publicly say, I want to follow Jesus? If you never have before, or if you did and you know it was not in your heart then, but you did it out of compulsion or emotionalism, but now you say, no, today I want to say I am in it for life. I want eternal life, and I want to live and walk in the newness of life. If that's you, I just want to invite you today to say yes to Jesus and come down and profess Jesus and be baptized. By the way, that water is warm. Justin is too good to us. It's warm water. And you know what? We have towels up here. I didn't bring a towel. We got them. Okay? And it's warm out. It's hot. You're going to be glad you're wet when you get out there. Amen? So what we're going to do is we're going to ask the band to come forward as well. And if we could just put that verse up, you know, this is a command. I mean, no guilt trip here. But it is a command. Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded. And lo, praise you, Jesus. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Amen. Jesus is with us now. And again, not a guilt trip, but if he was sitting right next to you now, and you've never made a public profession of your faith through baptism, what do you want to tell him right now? Why? I know it sounds pretty guilt. I'm just saying. Maybe today is the day to stop playing games with your faith. Because, you know, if you're not willing to do this, there's a lot of other things you're not willing to do. I'm telling you. You are missing out. You're the one missing out. And I'm just going to say, after you see these couple of people baptized, I think there's more. I'm pretty certain there's more. In fact, we were praying down there, and I said, I see 12 people coming down. I don't know. you gotta leap for it, right? But I just think there's more than two that are going to be baptized here this morning. In my heart, I know it. And so be praying right now. And why don't we start to play a song anyway? As Tony starts to come up and Jaylin starts to come up, and anyone else who believes that today is the day they need to make a public profession of their faith, why don't you let the Lord work on your heart now as we do maybe a verse or so and get ready.